Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, it's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. Sorry for the delay. We had an issue. Technical difficulties. Yes. Even, obviously, when you're in an apartment, this can happen.
Our studio?
Yes,
studio.
A studio, really?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's the story, really? And I'm taking to it.
Studio, though?
Yeah, that's the story.
You're a nice guy. Because you're always, anytime I stay in my apartment, you jump in and say, like, the studio.
Yeah.
That's good. That's nice of you, man. Yeah. All right, you know what I mean? I feel you, you know, we're not in an actual studio. We're in an apartment. We hold it down, though.
Yeah, we have a setup similar to a studio.
I know. We got a switchboard and everything.
Yep.
We're moving on up. Don't ask me how I got it, but still, we're moving on up. Anyway, like I said, it's the Urban Sports Scene, the Eyes Radio Network. I'm Wally.
Will T.
And we have some shows on the Eyes Radio Network. Actually, we have no shows on the Eyes Radio Network. We're the only show in town.
We're the only show.
Yes, definitely. And
Franchise players, as I stated before.
Franchise players. Okay. I dig that. Right now, it seems like we're having problems being live and whatnot. See, it's connecting.
Yeah, I see. But we're still recording
for the Wally.com website.
Yeah, for the podcast, for the people that are downloaded from there. So,
So you all definitely hear it one way or the other.
Exactly.
Listen to Clutch Sports Radio. This show is produced by our friend Darwin. Visit his site. It's www.darwin-sports.com. Darwin is not with the Eyes Radio Network, but he has a great show. Also, listen to the Voice of the Fan podcast show at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. The show is hosted by Alex, Jeff, and Adonis Jones. Cool Cat show is similar to ours. And also, make sure you check out our site, our podcast, which is syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Apple G's. Make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, first of the World Series. Right now, the Boston Red Sox are up on the, on the St. Louis Cards. What's it? 3-2.
Game six on Wednesday.
I know who's pitching for the Cards.
Walker versus, it's
not Lackey, is it? Because Lackey did like a
relief. I don't think it's Lackey. We'll have research look up that information for us.
It can't be Buchholz. Is it DuBron? It can't be DuBron because DuBron did relief too. Whatever. Anyway, thoughts of the World Series so far?
As I stated before, you know, during our preview, Big Poppy has been the difference maker for this. For the Boston Red Sox, his bat has essentially carried this team to three victories. Also, along with smart pitching and fielding by the Boston Red Sox, I still don't think this series will be over in six. I actually think it'll be seven games. It's been a well played World Series, and I think for maybe the first three or four games, there was always some like bizarre happening that really changed the
instruction. You're referring to the instruction play, the individual being picked off, the rookie being picked off in the by Boston. He played with the Orioles. I can't say his name correctly. I hate saying foreign names. I'm a foreigner. I have a foreign name myself.
I was about to say that.
That sucks. Uehara. Yeah, Uehara.
Yeah.
He picked off the kid for the St. Louis Cardinals to end the game with Beltran at the plate. And also, I think the first game was sloppy anyway. I think the shortstop had like two errors. This series hasn't been the cleanest series, but it has been one of the more compelling World Series of date to date. What I like about this series is every play is intense. I mean, if you look at the game where Ortiz hit that double. Game four. Game four. They were down a run. Ortiz hits the double, and he gets his team fired up. And before that, he riles his teammates in the clubhouse and gives them a speech. And from that point on, they go on a nice little roll. So every run is important. You saw what Gomes hit that home run, and when I'm referring to game four, every play is important in the series, and that's what I like about it. It's like it reminds me back in the day when I watched the Minnesota Twins versus the Braves World Series. This is before Greg Maddux was on the team. And every run was important. Every inning was important.
That was like 1990.
91, 92. Yeah. And every play was important. And, I mean, honestly, that game was well played in terms of defense and pitching. But this series has been a little sloppy defensively, but it has the same type of thing. Every play has been important.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I think we stated on kind of our preview of the World Series that these are two evenly matched teams, you know. And, you know, actually with the weird occurrences that happened, I'm not going to say weird occurrences, but, you know, what happened in the first three games, that's been kind of the shift between these two teams. And that shows you just how evenly matched they are and just how much both managers have to earn their money from a strategic standpoint, because you have two evenly matched teams that are built similarly with strong pitching, fielding, and hitting.
Thoughts? So you think this game is, you think Walker's going to win game six?
I think Walker.
Walker Flocka.
Walker Flocka. You know I was going to say it.
Don't worry, we got hard in the paint segment, because it's the NBA. You know, and the NBA is finally back, so we have a hard, go hard in the paint segment, but go ahead.
Yeah, I actually think the young sensation pulls it through, evens it up at 3-3, and we have game seven on Halloween.
Game seven on Halloween?
In Boston.
I think Boston closes it out tomorrow night. I think Big Poppy's playing at a high level. Pedroia, I like what they've done with the lineup. Having Pedroia and Big Poppy back to back gives St. Louis problems. And if they can get Ellsbury to step up, leadoff man who gets on base, who creates havoc, if he can step up, the way this team is playing, they just seem more spirited, to be honest with you. You know, you watch all kinds of sports, all like championship sporting events, the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals. When you just see that, you see that team and that player that seems more passionate. You know, we watched LeBron James and the Heat play against the Spurs and Jazz.
Game six and game seven.
And you saw how, you know, he wanted it. Regardless, he wasn't making the right plays. You could tell he wanted it. You know what I mean? We shot that three, he made that three. You could tell he wanted it. Like in this series, to me, Big Poppy wants it. Pedroia wants it. Like every big run, you see these guys rushing to their teammates and just celebrating. So to me, I just think that's infectious. I mean, infectious. And I just see the Red Sox taking the series in six.
Okay, well, you mentioned the NBA, and I know we're not going to talk about it now, but how happy are you that the NBA starts tonight?
I'm
extremely happy.
I'm excited because, you know, a lot, and we'll talk about it later, obviously, but I can still talk about it right now. I'm excited. I want to see the Miami Heat play. They're playing tonight. I want to see that game. I like, you know, what I like about the NBA is when it ends. You know, I'm going to get to celebrate either way. I'm going to go to Jazz with my man Will T.
Because we have a tradition.
We got a tradition. And I'm going to go ahead and rub it in to every little anti-Miami Heat fan, period. Because I expect the Miami Heat to be in the finals. And for the last 3 years, they have made my life. I mean, even though they lost game one, but they made it fun for me. You know, the last 3 years, they made it fun for me because I'm rooting for the enemy. And Will knows I like going to enemy territory and coming out successful.
Yeah, I'm excited for it because finally, the balance of power has shifted from the West to probably the top five teams in the East.
That's true.
It's going to, you know, I think, you know, for Miami to go and three-peat, they're going to have a hellacious time just getting through the East.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, they're going to have to face two of the top four teams. They'll even have to, in the playoffs, they'll have to face the Nets, the Knicks, the Pacers, or the Bulls. They're going to have to face two of those teams just to make it to the NBA championship. So it's amazing, and I can't wait for it to get started tonight. That's why we're coming to y'all a little bit earlier at 6:30. You know, originally the show was supposed to be at 7, but I figured, you know, most of y'all at 8 o'clock are going to switch to the Heat game. So
yeah,
why not start a little 30 minutes early?
Yeah, we was like, I can't wait, like Mark Scott. You know what I mean? He's boosted. Anyways, go down to pregame. Dexter Manley, former Washington Redskins great Dexter Manley, had some homosexual slur towards Troy Aikman.
Yeah, we actually can say it. He called him a queer.
We can say that? Good, because I wasn't sure if I could say it or not.
He called him a queer. If we can't, you know, who's going to find us?
Hey, it is what it is. Can you say it, though?
I'm not saying it in a derogatory term. I'm just saying what he said.
Yeah, I got you.
What he called Troy Aikman on a WTOP sports affiliate in Washington, D.C.
It's WTOP, right? It was on WTOP.
Yeah, it was on WTOP.
All right, go ahead.
Dexter Manley, everyone knows, he doesn't really have a censor. Free-spirited guy. A lot of people remember him as one of the great pass rushers from the Washington Redskins teams.
From the Coke ages. I love Dexter Manley. I'm just saying.
Yeah, some people remember him as a heavy drug user and being illiterate. I choose to remember him for the positive that he's done, being one of the best pass rushers ever in the Washington football team's history.
I remember Dexter Manning like for that too, but at the same time, don't get it twisted. He's synonymous with it. I think he's done good. Don't get wrong. Like he's gone to jail and talked to a lot of prisoners in jail and stated that, you know, you can rehabilitate yourself and accomplish things once you get out. So I'm a fan of Dexter Manley. I think he represents good. He represents the individual people count out, but you know, at the end of the day, they succeed.
Touche. That was well said.
Yeah. So I like Dexter Manley. I may make jokes about it because it's messed up and it's funny. I know it as a kid. It used to amaze me. I was like, how the hell did this dude get so far and did not know? He didn't know how to read. I'm like, somebody pick up like, hey, Dexter, read, say the, like, spell that out for him. And like, no one could, like, I'm surprised no one could call him out on it.
And I agree with you too. I remember when I heard him say that he was dyslexic. I was wondering to myself, you know, I was very young at that time. Uh-huh. I was wondering, how the hell did he get through school?
Like, seriously, I'm not trying to be ignorant.
That just goes to show you what's wrong with our educational system. We just push kids through.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be ignorant. I'm dead serious. Like, I sat back and I was like, oh, good for you. You didn't hustle the system. I mean, you was a hustler.
That's exactly what
he
did.
And it shows how, you know, how important it is, you know, how, well, for a dominant college athlete, you don't have to do anything to get out of school.
No, it doesn't. And those were times where
people pretty much finished college.
Yeah, pretty much finished college before they, you know, went on in life and
exactly.
in NFL.
And did drugs. But yeah, so and you ain't problems with that? What he said about Troy? What was it in reference to? Because I never heard.
Well, they
that.
Were saying that Troy Aikman and I forgot who the other gentleman would be calling the game. Which was the 420, the national game, 425 Redskins versus
the Broncos.
Denver Broncos. And they said, what are your thoughts on Troy Aikman? He said, he's a
queer. That's what he said. Oh, wow. This wasn't after the game.
This was on an interview. I think it was a Thursday afternoon.
Oh, so it's just came to light now.
Yeah, you know he has a very strong dislike or disdain or hatred towards the Cowboys.
Or anything related
to the Cowboys.
I don't. Hey, I'm not mad at that. I hate the Cowboys myself. I'm not gonna call Troy Aikman a fairy.
Yeah.
Is that bad? I don't even know. That's right.
Yeah, I don't think that's right either. All right, we'll just keep going.
I'll just take that one back.
Okay.
I don't have to say that. He's not. I take that back. I didn't mean it that way. Y'all know what I mean. I felt like that was more
appropriate
than saying the other word. Yeah. You know what I mean? And with nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with
homosexual.
Nothing
wrong
with that at
all. Do your thing. We respect you.
Yeah.
Live your life. Live your truth.
Yeah, no. Don't forget, no one can judge you but God. So don't worry about that. Don't anybody judge you because no one can judge you but God. Let's see. 48-year-old. And we're going to boxing. 48-year-old Bernard Hopkins defeated Carol Murat.
Murat, yes.
I didn't see the fight at all.
I saw the fight. Bernard Hopkins put on a performance. I'm not going to say for the ages, but for his age, he put on a hell of a performance. Carl Murat tried for all intents and purposes to...
was he a top light heavyweight?
I'm not going to say. I believe he was like a number one or two contender for the, I believe, IBF championship. For all intents and purposes, Murat tried to speed up the fight by being very aggressive and coming out and challenging Bernard Hopkins. And he actually did a very good job for, I say, the first four rounds. First three specifically, I actually had him winning the first two of the first three rounds.
Oh, really?
And actually, Bernard Hopkins, he was now being called the Floyd Mayweather high shoulder roll. He actually switched his stance up and used that stance against Murat.
Wow.
And was able to masterfully pick him apart, you know, with the with some of his dirty tactics and, you know, some of it with clean, effective power punching. It's clear to me at this point, you know, people are going to have a hard time stopping Bernard Hopkins unless, you know, he's in there with the elite of elite young Tigers. You know, Chad Dawson was the last guy to pull off a win against him. So you need a guy, you know, kind of that caliber. Everyone's saying Nathan Cleverley, you know, once he gets his visa issues fixed and is able to come to the United States will be the ideal opponent for him. I would love to see that fight too. But obviously, you know, since Nathan Cleverley's having some problems with his visa, it's going to take him a while to get those fixed. We possibly could see that fight in 2014 if we're lucky. But if not, It'll be interesting to see what Golden Boy Promotions and where Bernard Hopkins goes to that next step, you know, because we all know that Adonis Stevens, who recently won a version of the light heavyweight championship, fights for HBO. So there's no way conceivable that we can, you know, at least now, that we can see Bernard Hopkins and Adonis Stevenson fight, just because HBO has gone on a record and stated they won't do business with Golden Boy. But, you know, if the amount of money is right, the person, you know, you never know what can happen.
Quick question. Obviously, this probably won't happen, but is there any chance that Bernard Hopkins maybe fights Andre Ward or even a Floyd Mayweather Jr.?
He stated that he doesn't want to. Well, this is the oxymoron of it. He stated that he doesn't want to fight Andre Ward because, you know, they have a great relationship. But Floyd Mayweather, last time I checked, does promotion with Golden Boy, so I would believe that you know Bernard Hopkins being one of the equity partners in it would be would have a decent relationship with Floyd Mayweather. And plus, at 48, I really don't see Bernard Hopkins going down to 160, because that's where the fight would have to take place. Floyd Mayweather would have to come up to 160, and he would have to go down to 160 for it to happen. It's one of those kind of fantasy fights that you can, you know, people can dream up and see how it will happen. But in reality, it won't happen.
So, all right. So what's really next with Bernard then? He's just out there in limbo, because he has to fight somebody of quality. I mean, you want to pay to see this.
You never know. You never, a guy who a lot of people have stated has had problems. I'm not going to say had problems, but, you know, he's kind of been itching to go up to 175, a guy like Carl Froch. You never know, Carl Froch could jump up to 175 and fight Bernard Hopkins, or, you know, a guy like Mikael Kessler. So you never know. There are options, and, you know, Golden Boys, they're a great promotional company, and what the responsibility of promoters is to create the hype and kind of create an opponent for a guy on this level that everyone in the public eye thinks is very feasible and has a chance against him. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how 2014 unfolds for him.
Well, enough about boxing. You know, my skins were in a good little boxing fight with the Denver Broncos.
For a half?
Nah, actually for three quarters.
Okay.
For three quarters until some things went down. Offense, I'm really starting to hate the offense for real. But anyway, we finally were knocked out by Peyton Manning. Anyway, when we get back from commercial break, we'll be talking about the Redskins-Broncos game. And also some comments Brandon Merriweather made about Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, very provocative comments.
I actually agree with him. Anyways, the Urban Sports Team, the Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know: what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
I'm in my zone, I'm feeling it. Stop blowing my buzz, quit killing it. So buy another round and try to shut us down about an hour ago, but we still in this.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming.
Thank you, Skylar Diggins. We love you, too. Keep twerking that thing. I saw you on Instagram, baby. Keep twerking it.
Okay. All right, we're back. You know, we got a couple of reads before we get into talking about the Washington football team. You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website at www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can also listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan.
Real quick, for the folks who are on the Eyes Real website and in the chat room, I cannot see it right now, so you're better off just, you know, tweeting us at Urban Sports Scene, or also hitting us up on Facebook, is our Facebook page. So just have comments out on there, and I will respond to them. But anyway, you want to go ahead and talk about it? Let me start.
Oh no, I wanted to know, how did you respond to the devastating loss?
You know what?
Let's put it into reference. The Redskins at one point were up 21-7, I believe, through the third quarter, midway through the third.
Yes, you're correct.
Then the Denver Broncos scored a historical 31 points in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
You can make it sound any which way you want to.
I'm just stating the facts. Let me put it down this way.
All right. First, I broke it down. Let me talk about the positive before I get to the negative. All right.
Okay.
It's easy to go bashing people. First off, big ups to Hasden and his defense. They played well. The defense played well.
True.
Fan of what they did. They made Peyton Manning turn the ball over four times. So you don't do that often. So I'm giving you credit there. I'm gonna give credit when credit is due to the Bakari Rambo, who was benched and he came in and made good open field tackles. Played well. Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris ran well. Limited carries again, about 16, 17 carries and 90 some yards and a touchdown. So I was happy with the defense, and the running game.
Specifically, I want to single out D'Angelo Hall because he had another strong game. That's if you think about it, that's three straight weeks against three of the top receivers, and he held his own.
And D'Angelo Hall had two picks and one pick six. And I will talk about D'Angelo Hall too later within this segment, but. Those were things that I looked at. And also Amerson. Amerson played well, too. So I was happy with the defense. You know, Kerrigan had that big play that stripped Peyton Manning, and Arakpo recovered it. So now we had an opportunity to score even more. So
that's about the only thing Arakpo did.
What? What did he do wrong?
No, I'm just saying this is an interesting stat that I
– He had no tackles?
Yeah.
That's stupid. That's nothing.
Second out of three games.
That means nothing. There's a defensive end. Defensive ends don't get tackles like that. If you look at the whole the thing about that whole stat sheet, people always trying to find something to criticize. Like,
I'm not criticizing.
I'm talking about other Redskins fans. He had a fumble recovery, a batted ball. Truth be told, he actually had chaos in it. He did a decent job in that game. The whole defensive unit as a whole did well. Jarvis Jenkins played well. I thought. This was a Jarvis Jenkins I saw in preseason, a little bit more disruptive, you know, helping getting push in the opponent's backfield. This defense to me was balling. They were flying to the ball. So I was not a fan of what I saw offensively. Now let me go to the negative. Offensively, one, RG3, love the dude. Everybody knows it. But still, you need to see the field. The guy needs to see the field. People always say, like, the Redskins don't have anybody wide open, like their receivers don't get open. You saw Josh Morgan running free. You saw on the same play, you saw Garcon basically for a touchdown, and he was just locked into Jordan Reed. RG3 needs to be able to start. RG3 should be at a point in his progression to see the field. All right, we see this with Andrew Luck. We see this with other quarterbacks. He needs to see the field, and he just doesn't do that. Secondly, Kyle Shanahan, you must be fired.
Wow.
He must be fired.
That's a very strong statement.
You're putting too much pressure on RG3. Run the ball. Like I mentioned earlier, Alfred Morris had over 90 yards, unlimited carries. He should be getting 25 carries, especially when you're playing against Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning should not see the field. I'm sorry, he shouldn't see the field. We should hold the ball long enough for Peyton Manning can't even breathe on the field. He can't even put one toe on the field. I don't want to see that. If you're gonna throw the ball, when Peyton Manning is on his run, and basically when you're referring to when he starts getting that touchdown run, they tie the game up. What does Kyle Shanahan do? He throws the ball like three straight times. Stop it. Alfred Morris they can't stop him. They weren't stopping Alfred Morris. So those are what I took out of the game, man. I'm getting angry.
You're still passionate.
I'm getting a little angry again. Oh man, I was cursing the storm in this apartment. You know what I mean? I was cursing.
In the studio.
You call it what you may. I was a pissed ass joker. Put it that way.
It's got to be kind of crushing. And this is not to try to rub it in no way or be sarcastic.
Yes, you are. It's all good.
No, I'm not.
It's all good.
It's got to be crushing. You know, the Redskins were up 21-7. I think that any reasonable fan, you know, it was reasonable for fans and anyone who was watching that game to actually think the Redskins were going to pull it out, yeah. Had an opportunity to. And, you know, for Denver to come back the way they did and, you know, for the offense to kind of falter, you know, towards in the second half of the game, was really devastating and leaves a lot of questions going into this week.
But the offense hasn't been strong the whole season. I mean, it looked good against Chicago, and we all felt happy about it. I felt happy about it. But to be honest with you, we went back to what we normally seen the whole season. RG3 being inconsistent. The offensive line can't protect him. It's just a bad offense. The only bright spot in the offense really has been Alfred Morris, again, on limited carries, and Jordan Reed.
And Pierre Garçon.
And Jordan Reed.
Pierre Garçon, no.
And Jordan Reed.
I think Pierre Garçon has been the most consistent.
No, I mean, seven catches of 46 yards. I mean, does that wow your socks? Does that
no,
really
I'm
do
not saying it
for
wows
you?
It, but I'm just saying through his level of consistency through the whole season.
He plays hard. That's what I like about Pierre Garçon. I like him. He's the number one for me. I'm not knocking Pierre Garçon, but I'm saying the guys to me who have stood out, who've been balling. Like, when I mean balling, I mean putting up stats that you're like, okay, if they got touches, they're playing at such a high level, an all-star, a Pro Bowl-ish level. I'm saying Jordan Reed and Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris is the thing with Alfred Morris, he's just not getting the opportunity to do anything. But Jordan Reed is getting the chances because Kyle likes to throw the ball, and he's getting those chances. That's all I'm saying. But then it's not a knock on Pierre Garçon. If Pierre Garçon got the opportunity to get open passes, I mean, if RG3 can locate Pierre Garçon, he would have great numbers as well.
Yeah.
And RG3, unfortunately, RG3 isn't locating Pierre Garçon like that.
But I think we're leaving out one thing that has, you know, that's been the narrative for the past two games about the Redskins and the reason why they lost. No one's bringing up that the special teams actually played decently.
Again, positive. The special teams did play well until Sad Rocca kicked
the 15-yard
punt. But again, they played well. Josh Morgan almost had a good return. I mean, he actually had plus yardage over 2 yards. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like it in Washington. I'm like, oh, the ghost of Brian Mitchell is coming back. I mean, it's just annoying, man. It was an annoying game. I was highly heated. I will not lie, but it is what it is. It wasn't a game like we had like during the show last week. It wasn't a game I expected to win, but I will say this: we went up 21-7. I'm cursing, texting everybody like, "F yeah, we in there. We about to shock the world. Go to Vegas, take them odds, boy. We about to shock the world."
All right. During your negatives of the game, you stated something that was interesting. That, you know, you called for it, I think, one or two times previously, but you sounded very Vietnamese. You stated very Vietnamese
okay.
This time.
Let it happen, son.
Kyle Shanahan.
He should be firing. Firing.
Why?
Like, the strength of this team is to run the ball. It's not that complicated. It worked against Chicago. We ran the ball. We ran against the Bears. We ran the ball with Helu and Alfred Morris.
Okay.
Denver Broncos, who have the MVP right now at the quarterback position. You are allowing allowing our defense to see this man a number of times because you do not want to run the ball. everybody knows. How do you keep a potent offense off the field?
Consume the clock and running the ball.
Exactly. Why would you? All right, this is my annoyance. They tie the game up. It's already a momentum killer right there. They tie the game up. All right, we mm-hmm. up 21-7. The first two, you're throwing the ball on all three downs. I mean, you have to throw it after you throw it first and second. You have to throw it on third.
Of course.
All right. So you're throwing the ball on first and second down when you have Alpha Morris averaging about over 5 yards a carry. Like, really? Come on, man. Seriously? Like, to me, and how I look at it, it's funny because I'll listen to Brian Mitchell on the Redskins postgame on Comcast Sportsnet. And Brian Mitchell will state, and it makes sense to me now, that maybe some people are more concerned about improving their resume as an offensive coordinator because, you know, offensive coordinators, they look sexy when they throw the ball, not when they're running the ball. So maybe someone's worried about that rather than trying to win games.
You brought up an interesting point because towards the end of his career in Houston, where Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, a lot of their fans were complaining because the personnel and the success over his tenure had been with running the ball. But towards the end of the of his career, and specifically his last season, he was throwing the ball a lot, and a lot of people were very upset with that. And, you know, it's kind of a parallel because if you look at this Redskins team, offensively, I believe, people would say their strength offensively is to run the ball with Alfred Morris, you know, read option with RG3 and, you know, sprinkle in some Roy Helu as a change of pace. But he continues to air it out and continues to kind of put the Redskins offense in some bad situations, but with his play calling of trying to throw the ball. You know, specifically, you know, like we can point to this occasion when the game was 21-21, you know, trying to come out and throwing the ball on all three downs rather than trying to, okay, let's regroup ourselves. Let's run the ball. Let's get back to what had been successful for us up to that point.
Yeah, it just, to me, it's time to be focused. The reason this dude's not focused on making this team consistent and having this team win games. You play to win the game. Herm Edwards says it all. I said it. You play.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. You play to win the game. All right. So anyway, on Facebook, I posed the question, should Kyle Shanahan be fired? You know, because I get when I'm angry, I vent.
Yeah, you do.
And my man Rob was like, we all know it won't be so. No reason in even debating this. He called a terrible second half yesterday. I had posted this obviously on Monday, and I was pissed. So that's why
I can tell.
So that's why
it's a lot of venom in that statement.
Yes, it is. It is. My man Dwayne on Facebook said, "Yep, without a doubt." My man Ricky was like, "More like his last week." I mean, yeah, that's right. More like his last week. My man Roger Newark. I mean Newkirk. You know Roger?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you know what
Roger.
Yeah, Roger, cool.
Roger, cool. Peeps.
Yeah, exactly. He said, "Yes, he should be fired." Who else I got on here? My man Nate said him and Haley for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Todd Haley, Nate's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, said needs to go. I just said you're a Steelers fan, son. But watching both teams play, were their offensive coordinators got to go.
Okay, I mean, well, thank you for the responses. You know, thank you,
got to go.
Wally, for you know getting the pulse of the people, talking to them and seeing what.
Hey,
drawing that Irie, getting their bubble, their blood bubbling.
That's true. Speaking of the term "gots to go," have you seen this is the end?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god, I saw it at the movie theaters, and I bought the DVD like last week,
mm-hmm.
and I can't stop watching it. Man.
I've heard it's hilarious. I actually want to check it out.
You got to see the part. This is just stupid funny, but you got to see it. When you get it. You got to fast forward to the part where Danny, the dude that's on You see Pineapple Express, the dude that had like the neck's all jacked up on that one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you get this dude talks about jerking off, yeah, right?
I'm okay.
Dead serious. I can say jerking off, it don't matter. I can talk about masturbating, jerking off. And the dude was like, "I will come everywhere. I will come in your house. I will come." You guys see, I'm sorry. I'm dying right now. Anyway, yeah. So, but okay. You guys see it. You guys see it, though.
Yeah. All right. Back to the game. And one of the people we indicated is a bright spot for this team, it has been for the past 3 weeks with his play. D'Angelo Hall, he had two picks against Peyton Manning. As we all know, that the Redskins came to him, pretty much told him, take this reduction in salary or get gone, and he did. Do you think he's earned himself an extension that season in?
Has he earned an extension? No, yeah, he does. He has. And, you know, I'm not a big D. Hall fan. He has. He definitely has. He deserves his money. He definitely deserves his money. And I mean, he has about what? I want to say four, but I feel like I'm shortchanging him with picks.
I think he may have four.
He had four picks. Yeah. Four picks, two pick six, and one fumble recovery for a touchdown. So, yeah, D. Hall deserves his money.
I'll say if I was a fan of this team, I would say D. Hall deserves his money, but not on this team for the simple fact that because D'Angelo Hall is like 31 years old. We all know that this is towards the end where, you know, guys who play, who rely on speed and agility start to slow down.
That's true.
You know, now we haven't seen D'Angelo Hall completely slow down, but who's to say that, you know, if you sign him to a long-term 2 or 3 year deal, that you're actually able to reap the benefits of it because he'll be 31 years old. I think he deserves to get paid, but if I was a Redskins fan, I would not want him to get paid for this team. You know, you have David Amerson. You always and you know you have you, David you come back yeah no I'm you're not even letting me, you're not even
go
letting
ahead,
me get
go
out
ahead, go ahead.
You're coming off of the cap penalties, and you know you're able to find a possibly a younger, cheaper, like you might be able to do what they did with Pierre Garçon, find a cornerback who's coming up in his prime, who you can pay and actually pay him for what he'll do and not what he's done.
Who is this player you speak of?
I don't know the free agency market. And also you have your draft picks, you know, although the Redskins don't have a first round pick, but they still do have the rest of their draft picks. And you never know, Bruce Allen and Mike Shanahan like the wheel and deal when it comes to the draft to move up on the Cajuns. So there might be a guy who they can target and become a younger, cheap alternative.
Pose the same question on Twitter and Facebook, but I'm going to go on our Twitter page. My man Brandon Lee Cox says, D. Hall is playing his butt off this year. I say yes and buy Fred Davis. Dang, Freddie D is gone. Smoking that weed.
Yeah, there's been some talk that the Redskins have been shopping him heavily with the trade deadline. I believe trade deadline is today or tomorrow.
Yeah, it's passed. Yeah, it's already passed. So okay. Fred Davis is a Washington Redskin. My man Rob said yes, they can. Wait till the season is over to retain him. And Arakpo, Hall Arak earned it. So I told you. See, some people do like Arakpo. See, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not saying people. Exactly. Shouldn't. I'm not saying people.
Arakpo. Arakpo, Nigeria.
Niger.
Hold on. I know there's another face. I have a Facebook joint too. Excuse me. Let me read a little bit off here. I'm not gonna read all of them, but let me read what I have on here. Quick. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Time
and five, four.
Go to the next topic. I'm tired of this crap. Go to the next topic. I don't have time for this crap. Will,
okay.
Speed it up, Will.
Next week, or this coming Sunday, Chargers coming to town. Redskins, I believe, what are they? I forgot the line for this game.
It should be favored, right? Because it's in
yeah,
D.C.
Yeah, I believe they are favored. I don't know.
Landover.
Yeah. I don't know why they would be favored against the Chargers, but I believe they are.
Because the Chargers don't travel right. Duh.
They don't.
They don't travel. That's the only reason why.
All right. But besides the Chargers, there's also another storyline for this week, for this game. Brandon Merriweather off his one-game suspension.
I must say, one of my favorite players, too. I must say. He thinks like
he had. He had some comments, and both of his sets of comments, both comments were kind of controversial. He stated that essentially the league doesn't want you to aim up high when you're hitting, so he's going to start taking people's knees out and ending their career. He said, which is a shame because, you know, that he'll have to end some people's career, but at least it'll save him some money in his pocket from being suspended and having to sit out a game, which you don't find any problem with.
Not at all.
And he made another comment about Brandon Marshall.
I had no problem with this comment either.
He essentially, well, Brandon Marshall said that people like Brandon Merriweather should be expelled from the game because of their tactics, you know, going high, headhunting, leading with their crown, launching themselves. And Brandon Merriweather retorted with, "I don't think people who abuse their girlfriend should be in the games."
Yeah. What's wrong with that either?
I don't necessarily find anything wrong with it, because me, when it comes to a war of words, you open yourself up to criticism.
Exactly. That's my thing.
I don't know why, you know, all the major media outlets are making a big...
And they bashing Brandon Merriweather for saying it, though.
Yeah.
That's what annoys me.
I think people are bashing him because it's come out the last couple of years that Brandon... And not to say this is an excuse for it.
Brandon Marshall, Brandon Merriweather.
People are bashing Brandon Merriweather because it's come out...
Oh, because of Brandon Marshall's situation.
Yeah, his mental situation. I believe he's bipolar. And he's been a very big advocate for mental illness.
He has been.
And he's come out and, you know, and stated that, you know, that's been the cause of some of his problems in the past. So I think people are making that up. You're giving me that look.
No, because there's no need to touch a chick regardless of, you mean, like that. You know, you shouldn't put your hands on a chick physically like that anyway. I mean, regardless of what your situation is. You know, this ain't no Ike and Tina. Was Ike Turner bipolar?
No, not that we know of.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I just don't. Okay. There's a way you can deal with it. I respect Brandon Marshall, what he's doing, how he's fighting it, how he's taking this initiative, trying to fight the condition and whatnot. So I respect Brandon Marshall. Now, my problem with, you know, people bashing Brandon Merriweather about making comments about Brandon Marshall is that Brandon Marshall said that this dude should be suspended. Or like, should be suspended, or be like, or even kicked out. Was it kicked out of the league?
Kicked out of the league.
So you messing with my money, yeah. All right? You messing with my livelihood. So if you're gonna come out with those statements, then yeah, I can say whatever I want to, because now you're messing with how I support my family, how I support myself. And if you state that, then yeah, you're free game. And if I'm Brandon Merriweather, I'll state the same thing. I'm like, all right, who would you rather have? A dude that I knock people out in football, or a dude who knocks out chicks? Yeah, I say the same thing.
No, I totally agree with you, because like I said, when you open yourself up to criticize someone else, if your house isn't in order, then be prepared for the repercussions, because anything's pretty much game in a war of words. You know, some people would like to think it's not, but the reality is it is.
Yeah, it's just like when that person, it's funny. It's like that person. Brandon Marshall then stated after that was like, "What do you say?"
I'll
pray for you. I'm like, dude. All right, I mean, that's nice. I get you, but I feel like don't be sarcastic with it. I'll pray for you. Like,
maybe he was sincere.
I don't think so. I think he said that with a smile. Now he ain't praying. I don't think he prayed for Brandon Marshall. I mean, Brandon Merriweather. You think he prayed for him?
No, I don't.
I don't think so. Don't.
It's just one of those terms that people like to use.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pray for you.
Yeah, don't worry. God looking at you. God saying, "Oh, okay, you want to mess with me? You want to lie about my praying skills, huh? Okay, thou shalt." Boom. But now, all jokes aside, though, I have no problem with it. And back to Brandon Merriweather's comments about taking people out, I mean, with taking their legs out, that's what's going to happen. He got to. I mean, he can't hit high, so might as well hit him low.
Well, he can always aim in between at the chest.
It's too hard. It's too hard. I'm sorry. It's too hard. It ain't easy no more. Take him out. Take them all out.
All right, but there's a game on Sunday, so let's get back to that. Back to the topic at hand. The Chargers coming to town. Phillip Rivers, as I've stated on the show, is playing the quarterback position, second to only Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
He's playing at a very high level this year.
It's kind of like a Wally level. Yeah, I know.
At a Wally level.
Yeah,
if that's what you want to call it, hey, I'll go with it. We saw the performance that the Redskins defense did, Washington football team did.
No, you said Redskins already. It's okay. You already said it. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to restrain.
You're trying to. It's not happening. It's okay.
I can if I need to.
Hey, it's okay.
That the Washington football team.
You're already 86 the Eagles as your team. So yeah, maybe you can.
We saw how they held up against the Denver Broncos in Denver. What do you think this defense is capable of against Phillip Rivers?
That's a good question.
That's why I know. I thought of it.
This defense... To me, what they did to Peyton Manning, how they frustrated him, I think they can carry that momentum on to the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers are an inconsistent team. Yes, I love Peyton Manning. I love Phillip Rivers. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. But this team, I mean, there's some similarities. The head coach was the offensive coordinator in Denver. So there's some things that the Redskins can probably use. And vice versa, obviously, some things the Chargers probably looked at and say, okay, well, this worked with Peyton. This could probably work with Phillip. But I like the way the guys play without Brandon Merriweather on the back end. I like the way Bakari Rambo played. I think that was his best game as a pro. Reed Dowdy didn't play. Biggers played safety. So you'll have Merriweather back, and maybe you'll have Merriweather and Reed, or have Merriweather and Bakari Rambo. So I'm feeling a little more confident with the safety play. And now since we've been playing a lot more man, I like the way we saw how D-Hall's played. And there's not that wide receiver on this team right now compared to what D-Hall has seen over the last prior weeks. Now, that's not to say that D-Hall won't get beat. But if D-Hall plays with the same intensity, he should be fine. And Amerson, too, as well. I think Amerson played well against the Broncos. So I think all the young guys in the secondary are finally coming into their zone. And all it is, we need a pass rush. We need to hit Phillip Rivers. You've seen, if you hit Phillip Rivers, he tends to make mistakes.
Yeah, I think the key for the Washington football team's defense is
to
control the middle of the field.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Antonio Gates, and you know what a lot of people don't realize is a young rookie who's actually had a huge impact. Two of the past three
California.
Weeks, yeah. Keenan Allen, wide receiver from Cal. Mm-hmm. Him along with Antonio Gates, those guys have been able to control the field, and they've been able to help Phillip the middle of the field and kind of reinvigorate their short controlling passing game and going, you know, using Eddie Royal in the slot. So it'll be interesting to see how the Redskins defense matches up against Phillip Rivers in that intermediate passing game.
Well, I mean, it can happen. I mean, Phillip Rivers, there's a good chance Phillip Rivers will, you know, do some big things in this game. But I have faith in my Washington Redskins secondary. Big things popping with this secondary. They're doing well. So, are you having my Redskins losing this game, man? Come on, Will. You know you want to have my team losing.
I do. I actually do. I think with the Chargers coming off of the bye and, you know, having an extra week to rest themselves and getting out to Washington D.C., I actually think, the players and the coach and the staff actually getting able to see that game live against the Denver Broncos and prepare. I think that's an advantage for them this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Good job,
really.
Sir. Good job.
I know. Thank you.
Good job, sir.
In-depth analysis.
Well, real quick, let me read off some of the D-Hall stuff. I promise to come back to it, and I will. Because, you know, people support us. I support people. My man South said, yeah, we'll give D-Hall a one-year deal. D-Hall ain't taking that, South. I hope you know that. He's not taking it. If he's playing at this level, he will not take that deal.
You need at least a three-year deal for him.
At least a three-year deal. My man Yada, what's up, Yada, said no. As much as I bash D-Hall, he's been balling this year. Once he gets that new deal, he might revert back to what he's been the last prior seasons. Yeah, that's a possibility. People play hard during the contract year, so I don't know. My man, there's one more. Let me read one more. My man Thomas Curl said he's locked in on the top five of top wide receivers this year. The best one has never mind. I can't read that. It's too much.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't read that. But my man Adonis Jones says no. And I appreciate all that. I appreciate all the feedback on Facebook.
Yeah, we really do. We appreciate all the social media feedback. Keep it coming in Wally continues to post questions. And
mess up all the little reads and whatnot. Some of the stuff is hard to read. I'm sorry.
It's all good, man. All right, let's get back to the game. 2-5. Could the Redskins afford to lose another game?
No, not in my opinion. Well, maybe one game. This is not the game to lose.
Mm-hmm.
There's if I had to choose a game to lose, it would probably be the Kansas City game. That's a game you can lose if you're gonna choose it. But the Redskins have to win a game that within the similar battles of the Cowboys may play, the Cowboys and Eagles, similar teams to the Cowboys and Eagles play.
Yeah, because remember, the red hot New York Giants have a bye this week. They
seriously.
Have 2 wins straight.
Yeah, seriously. They're red hot.
They are red hot.
I don't care. They got two in a row. They're right there. Yeah, so the exactly. Redskins have to beat like the Kansas City Chiefs. And luckily, that game is at home. They're going to have to beat the San Diego Chargers. Luckily, this game is at home, too. Those are teams they have to beat because the Cowboys have lost it on. I think the Cowboys have lost to pretty much every team the Redskins have lost to, other than, you know, obviously the Redskins have lost all the division games to date, and the Cowboys are undefeated in the division.
Yeah, I was going to make the statement that the Redskins have to at least sweep all of their NFC games from this point out, just for when it comes to tiebreakers and possibly to win out the division.
To have the definitely. Yeah. And what I like about the remaining schedule is that most of the tough teams are at playing at FedEx. That's the good thing for the Washington Redskins. The tough teams are playing at FedEx. So the Redskins are playing the tough teams in FedEx. So they have an opportunity. They just have to ride the fan support and maybe they can get on a run like they did last season. But will it be easy? Nah, not at all. And they're gonna need some help. Hopefully, like the Oakland Raiders beat the Cowboys when they play the Cowboys and things of that sort. So, if that happens, the Redskins to me are right back in the thick of things. But right now, 2-5, I can't tell you that they can lose a couple games. I feel like honestly, I don't believe what everybody says. Like the team from the NFC is gonna win the NFC East is gonna be like under 500. I think the team that wins the NFC East is gonna be over 500. Now, will it be 10-6 or 9-7 is a whole different thing. But I don't see them being like the Seattle Seahawks a couple of years ago. I don't
when they
see
were 7-9.
Yeah, I don't see them being that serious.
Yeah, I see the winner of the NFC East being at least 500.
At least 500. I can say 8-8. Yeah, bare minimum.
All right, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more NFL news, specifically Dez Bryant's alleged meltdown on the sideline against the Detroit. Yeah, alleged, because there was actually text and audio revealed of what he was saying.
Okay.
During the game. Then we'll also come back with three things you need to know for Week 9 and three things we learned for Week 8.
Is there a Sports Scene on the Israel Network?
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Don't mind me, baby. Bounce. Taking over something. Bounce. Y'all get it. Let's take on, champ.
This is Josh Morgan from the Washington Redskins, and you're listening to Eyes Radio.
It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. That's Josh Morgan, Washington Redskin, who has no explosion on the football field.
Don't be like that, man. All right, we got one more read before we get into this next segment. You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Apple G's radio show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Coach and lovely Vivian.
What's up, Coach? What's up, Viv?
What's going on, peoples? Miss y'all, and we'll be in contact with y'all pretty soon.
I think I will. I think I'm going to contact Viv and Coach anyway. I think I need to.
Yeah,
I feel like I've been neglecting my peoples.
Yeah. But we're excited because, you know, on TNT, they're giving out the rings, the championship, the lowering of the banner from the roster for the 2012 NBA champion, Miami Heat.
I'm not getting the ring, so I'm not that excited.
I'm excited because that means the season's about to start.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say.
And you know the crazy thing is?
No, I ain't getting the ring.
We looking at the game on TNT, and almost half of the arena is empty.
Really?
Yeah, if you look at it, if you looked at the aerial view, there's still a lot of empty seats.
Oh, I see it now. I see it. Yeah, you're right.
There's still a lot. People of Miami, come on now. You're witnessing a dynasty.
You see the strip, though? I mean, why would you want to be in the game when you – on that? No comment, man.
Yeah, I understand. Hey. I understand, but still.
South Beach, huh?
South Beach, I understand. South but, Beach. You know, at least act like you're proud of your team and be somewhat of a sports town.
Hey, it's hard to be a sports town when you're in that party city. I mean, with the girls just walking freely, just looking as good as they want to look, man. Like, seriously. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
You know what I mean? King of diamonds. King of diamonds.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? Why? Damn, look how fat this dude is. Good God.
Nutricize
your life.
Stop being critical. Hey. All right. let's go. NFL news. Dez Bryant As everyone was able to see his meltdown on the sideline against the Detroit Lions, you know, there on two instances, once when he was talking to Tony Romo and then Wade Wilson and the rest of some other, and you know, anyone who was in that vicinity at the time, he was going off on Tony Romo, very animated. And then at the end of the game, Dez Bryant was seen, was engaging in what seemed to be an argument with Jason Witten, and DeMarcus Ware was caught intervening, getting in between the two, trying to calm Dez Bryant down. Is it passion or is it childish?
Oh, I don't really care for either or. I don't think it's either. Put it this way, let me try to get into Dez's mind. I think he acted that way because Calvin Johnson was just going ham, and he wanted to at least showcase his ability as well. And you know, I think he really, when he said what he said to in the media, and I believe he said he can do anything to Calvin Johnson can do. He thought he would be able to. This will be the platform where he can show that he's close to Calvin. I'm not going to even say that he's better, that he was close to Calvin. And this platform showed that he's not even in Calvin's league. That's what it showed to me.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I think Dez Bryant was trying to initiate himself as kind of himself as a motivator and leader at that point, trying to say, hey, I need the ball. I can help this team. I can, you know, help take us to another level. Tony, get me the ball. Coaching staff, get me the ball. But I think just because of Dez Bryant's past and the way he's acted, it just didn't come out right. And also what you stated, you know, what it looked like, it didn't come out right. And also from what you stated, he was in it as a competitor. He was in his feelings of the day that he was saying Calvin Johnson had. Because, yeah, you know, anytime, and I don't think he didn't come out and say he was better than Calvin Johnson.
Never said he was better than Calvin.
No, we've never said that, and he never said that. But, you know, if you listen to a lot of the sports media outlets, they were taking some of his comments out of context and saying that he thought he was better than Calvin Johnson, which he never said. Once he saw Calvin Johnson having the day that he had and essentially tearing that team's defense secondary apart, 329, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I thought maybe a little more than that.
And 14 catches.
Yeah.
He was saying, man, come on, I can do that. Get me the ball. I can put this team over the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, to only have – and he had a pretty solid game. Solid game, 3 catches for 72 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, it was decent.
He didn't have an all-star game.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing special.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't. It was, I mean, 2 touchdowns is still something cool. Don't get wrong, but it wasn't like he wasn't Calvin.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, the plays that Calvin made, and let's go into that game. We can talk about that game a little bit. That's the plays that Calvin made. Other than that, like obviously he fumbled on that one. That's the one negative to Calvin. I know, I'm sorry, and he dropped that pass that led to an interception. 2 negative plays, but. The plays, I mean, what Calvin did in that game, the bomb, like right when they were down, he caught over 2 defenders. He caught the highest level. Man, that dude is something special. And again, and folks, if you're listening, we are now able to see our, if you're in the chat room in the Eyes Radio website, we're now able to see. So if you have comments, feel free to comment on the chat room. But still, yeah, the catches that he made in that game was something special, man.
Absolutely, they were, you know, and at all times at being at least doubled or triple teamed.
Oh, my God. Like, that's what I was saying in the game when you picked the Cowboys and I picked the Lions, you know, because I was right and you were wrong.
Yeah.
Way to
rub it in.
I know. I was narrowly right and you were narrowly wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's still, all good. Hey.
But anyway, when I meant it, I was like the Cowboys are better off running man coverage. They're not really a good cover two team, you know, even though that's – Monty Kiffin style, they're better off with the personnel they do have to run more man. And you're putting man on Calvin Johnson. You're gonna take that chance at times to run man on Calvin Johnson. Yeah, you may have safety help over top for the deep play, but still Calvin runs routes too. Like he can run the deep ends. So you're still gonna have to defend Calvin one way or the other.
You made an excellent point. When people think of Megatron, they think of him jumping up, catching the ball on the 9 route,
and that's it.
Over two or three defensive backs, but that isn't the case. Calvin Johnson can run any route in the route tree.
Yeah.
He's a very efficient and smooth route runner and catches the ball great with his hands, no matter where he is on the field. So, you know, on that aspect, you were right, you know, in your prediction. So, yeah, I'll give it to you.
I mean, just right.
A broken clock is right two times a day.
What? That caught me off guard. What? What was that? A broken clock was right, what, two times a day?
Yeah.
See, well, you and your stuff, man. I tell you, man. You deep, man. You a deep dude, man.
I try to be. All right. Now for the other part, Dez Bryant. Is he at least the second best wide receiver in football?
You know, I struggle with this. You know, starting to think, you know, obviously you want to go back to good old reliable, like Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald and folks. But I'll give Dez the nod over them at the moment due to health. But I will say AJ Green to me is number two. AJ Green dominates. He's silky smooth. AJ Green's a better route runner. He too can make the deep pass. He can make every catch. His hands are great. And like the difference between like Dez Bryant and I would say an AJ Green is that Dez Bryant has weapons around him. So he has, for instance, he has Miles Austin, now Terrence Williams, and
Jason
Witten. Now, I'm not knocking. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking. I'm not knocking Gresham and company over there. They do have weapons, but they don't have like the number two wide receiver. It's far off from an AJ Green. You know what I mean? Like you can really focus on AJ Green. Like seriously, like Dez Bryant. It's gonna be hard to focus on Dez Bryant, even all the because of all the weapons that the Cowboys do have.
Well, Marvin Jones did have a 4-touchdown game last
Marvin
week.
Jones, but all right, that was one game. It's not consistent. It's not consistent.
Consistency.
You know what I mean? And Marvin, why is Marvin Jones having that kind of game?
Because it's double and triple.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. Like, you don't get – so, to me, for A.J. Green, the attention he does get on with that team and to produce at the high level he produces, he's a special dude. He is. He's a special dude. So, that's why I have him number two. I had this – matter of fact – go ahead. What about you? What about yourself?
No, and I'm taking in consideration that all the wide receivers are healthy when I make my assessment.
Okay.
I don't think Dez Bryant is number two. I agree with you. I would go Calvin Johnson number one. I would go AJ Green number two. Then 2B, I would go with Julio Jones.
Julio Jones, that's a good one, yeah.
Even though, you know, his play has fallen off only because of the lack of quarterbacks.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald. Then I would go Dez Bryant.
What about Andre Johnson?
Andre Johnson is reaching that age where he started. I'm not going to say he's slowing down, but he just hasn't produced. You know, from a yard standpoint, he's getting deep and getting open, and I think part of that has to do with scheme. Uh-huh. But
so you say Andre Johnson is getting open with scheme, not skill?
I'm saying he's getting open with skill and scheme, but he isn't. He doesn't have the explosiveness that he used to have. That Dez Bryant has now.
But you don't think that's because of the injury? Because he came in the season hurt.
I think it has to do more with age at this point.
Andre Johnson. All right, so my thing is, if Andre Johnson was 100%.
If he's 100%.
Without injury, like he's 100%.
Without, yeah, without injury, I think he's still better. He's better than Dez Bryant.
Okay, I want to make sure because Andre Johnson just has, to me, why I think Andre Johnson is great at what he does is that he's been hurt and he's still putting up numbers. Like he's still hurt, to be honest with you. And he still has games where I think he had a good game against a so-called one of the best cornerbacks in football and Sherman.
Richard Sherman?
Yeah.
He is one of the best cornerbacks.
Yeah, well, I think his talk makes him
I think his mouth makes people dislike him.
You think so? I think his dumb mouth makes people like him too much. That's my opinion. I think he talks a good game, and folks like to, you know, put him in a different level. But anyway, let me read these Facebook remarks about the second best corner. My man Keith Stover has AJ Green. My man Commish Jeremy Gordon says it's Denarius Thomas in Denver. Wow.
That's
an interesting one. All right, Commish, I want you to explain that one later. He said too many other weapons to throw to overshadows the greatness of Archer Robinson.
He couldn't even say that with a straight face.
My man Big Ron, Mega Ron says Green number two. My man Adonis Jones said he has a tie with Dez, AJ, Fitz, and Julio Jones. Make up your mind.
Be decisive.
What else? My man, Thomas Curl says AJ Green. So it seems like AJ Green is almost the overall consensus.
Oh, okay. Well, I think
Would you don't agree with AJ Green?
Yeah, I agree with AJ Green.
The overall consensus.
I was going to sum it up. I was going to say, yeah, I think everyone's right because they agree with me.
Because they agree with you.
Yes.
Not because they agree with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
Because people agree with me. I think they're like on a whole different level. When you agree with me, honestly, I think when people agree with me, they automatically go into my level of one of my favorite people in the world. When you agree with me, when you go against me, when they go against me though, man, it's a problem, son. It's a problem.
All right, well, let's get into the three things we learned from week 8.
All right, so the three things, you want to go first or you want to go first?
You can go first.
All right, the first thing I learned from week 8 is I'm going to give Andy Dalton and the Bengals some credit. I expect him to beat the Jets, but not in that fashion. And Andy Dalton is in a nice little stretch where he's had about a couple of games. He's been throwing over 3 touchdowns a game now. So Andy Dalton may be finally turned a corner and being the quarterback the Bengals need to actually be a threat to win the Super Bowl.
First thing I learned actually is in relation to the Monday night game in the Seattle Seahawks. Even though they've only lost one game and a lot of people are predicting this team to go to the Super Bowl, represent the NFC, it's still a very flawed team.
Yeah.
From these standpoints, the offensive line play, because Robert Quinn and Chris Long were able to.
Oh, but they're great though. Those dudes are good.
They're great,
bad.
But they were able to pressure. Dudes. They were able to pressure Russell Wilson. Get to him a lot. Offensively, they still don't have a wide receiver that gets a lot of separation and makes a lot of plays.
Well, do you think that's art? Do you think is the wide receiver? You think it's the wide receivers, or do you think it's more Russell Wilson?
I don't think it's Russell Wilson.
Okay. All right. I have an opinion about that. But actually, that's one of my things, too, though. But go ahead.
Okay. So I think from those two standpoints, even though they are the favorite, per se, to represent the NFC, this very flawed team, but actually, they have two remedies for that. Russell Okung will be coming back, their Pro Bowl left tackle. And Percy Harvin was recently off of the PUP list, and he has, I think, 3 more weeks to be enabled to be called active. So we'll see how that, if that can help right the ship for them in those two weaknesses.
So for me, the second thing I learned about week eight, is, and it's about actually about the Seahawks as well. The blueprint to beat the Seahawks is there. Now you just need the tools. The blueprint is there though. Press, bump around with the wide receivers. And put eight in the box. Take away Marshawn Lynch. Make Russell Wilson beat you. It's there. It's right there for you. You're just right there for you. So it's there on the table. Now, if you like the 49ers, if you see this, you may want to scrap zone coverage and just do that. You got the speed. You got the defense. You got the physical players. Do that. So for me, the blueprint, the St. Louis Rams showed the blueprint on how to beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, second thing. I learned this week is the read option is not dead. And if you got a chance to see any of the Oakland Raiders game with Terrell Pryor scored on the longest touchdown run for a quarterback ever, 93 yards, that just goes to show people that a lot of people saying that because for the first couple of weeks, the Redskins didn't run read option, the San Francisco 49ers didn't
Seahawks
run read option, Seahawks haven't, but you know, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks with the 49ers specifically running more read option and that helping to open up their offense with Robert Griffin III running the read option these past couple of weeks and with Terrell Pryor, it is still very viable and it still can change the way defenses play your team.
So the last thing I learned about week 8, and actually it's wild, you mentioned the Raiders, you know, going to the Bay – and Oaktown is dangerous. It's dangerous, man. This team don't lose at home. I don't think they lost a game at home, to be honest with you. Other than the Redskins, and they didn't have Terrell Pryor. So other than the Redskins, this team with a full Oakland Raiders team, this team dangerous at home. So any team that's going to Oakland, oh, you can swallow by the black hole with Terrell Pryor down there. So this Oakland Raiders team is dangerous at home. Maybe different on the road, but at home, they're a team you don't want to play with.
Okay, the last thing I learned from week 8 is Detroit Lions. They still have a very, very strong and viable shot to win the NFC North title. Even though, you know, a lot of people are going to point to the Green Bay Packers and say, oh, they have Aaron Rodgers, and once they get, Randall Cobb and James Jones back in with that running game, they'll be unstoppable. I don't believe it. I think that This Detroit defensive front gets a lot of pressure. Reggie Bush has turned in to be, in my opinion, should be on some level considered for the MVP for what he's done for that offense.
MVP?
Yeah, his presence has really changed that offense, the way that they call the game. You know, now you can't even, you know, you can, people are going to double and triple team Calvin Johnson, but Reggie Bush will kill you, you know, with the underneath passes and, you know, his ability to run through the tackles now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just check the way, look at a Detroit Lions game.
I mean, that Lions game, he's fumbled, blumbled and everything. Calvin Johnson MVP of that team. He's get all consideration. He is the superstar. He's Mr. Calvin Johnson.
Well, but I still believe, okay, I might, maybe not MVP, but Reggie Bush has been the biggest difference maker for that Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think
team.
He's opened some things up. I agree with you. The misdirection, it definitely works with Calvin and him on the field together. So let's go three things you should know going into week 9.
Go.
I got to go first again?
Yeah.
How can I go first on both what's now? You got both topics. You got to go first this one, I go first the next one. That's how we usually do it. Because you're not ready. Okay, let me do it.
I am ready.
Okay. I can go right now. Okay, let me go right now.
I can go right now.
Nah, sure?
Yeah, I can.
Flip a coin. Rock, paper, scissors. Come on.
Rock, paper, scissors. 3.
I cheated. Yeah. So you first.
Three things. One, first thing you should know, the Ravens play the Browns this week, and the Browns actually have a feasible option at quarterback with Jason Campbell.
Exactly, Jason Campbell.
Campbell, the guy who a lot of Redskins fans called for his head and wanted him ran out of town.
Hey, I've always loved Jason Campbell, man. JC, my man.
They actually have a feasible option at quarterback now with Jason Campbell at the cornerback position.
Yeah, so I'm fine with Jason Campbell, man. That's my dude. You know, Brandon Whedon, I'm telling you, that was a waste of a draft pick. I don't know what Mike Holmgren was thinking with that one. I'm sorry.
That one, they could have definitely strengthened that offensive line.
They could have strengthened that offense, period. That's just, I didn't get that pickup at all. What's my first thing you should know? You should learn.
You're not ready.
Let's see. Okay, I got it. Good one, then. Good one, Will. Good one. Real good one. Case Keenan will play well against the Colts. I think he'll play well against the Colts. This is he looked decent against the who did they play last week? His last game. He looked decent his last game. Okay. Looked decent his last game. What I like is they're not throwing too much at him. He's making up the simple passes. So I think Case Keenan will do well against the Colts. And plus, I think him playing at home is going to work for him too at the same time. So
okay. This relates to the game that will be played here locally, Chargers versus the Washington football team.
The Redskins, Washington Redskins?
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay.
Keep saying Washington football team. Keep saying it.
Specifically, fans of the Redskins, you will know Keenan Allen's name. I believe that Keenan Allen goes out and catches at least 7 catches for 100 plus yards and a touchdown.
You really like this Keenan Allen?
I really do. I think the kid's
going to be. You won't know who he is because D Hall on that ass.
Okay.
You won't know who that is.
Okay.
Redskin fans, you will not know who that is. You will be aware of who D Hall is again. Unless he's checking Eddie Royal, then that's a problem. See, remember Eddie Royal did to him a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So that will be a problem. Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Yeah, I got this one. The Eagles season ends in a black hole. They playing the Raiders. They need this game. No Vic. No Moss. No W.
Yeah, so. Okay. Last thing you need to know, even though the New York football Giants have a bye week, they'll still end up number 2 in second place in the NFC. I mean, no, excuse me. They'll be one game out of the second place spot in the NFC East because I think the Eagles will take a dive this week against the Oakland Raiders.
See the Redskins and the Eagles losing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, man. You're really trying to annoy me right now. all right, real quick. Last thing. I think you will know after week 9. Cam Newton will be the second best quarterback in the NFC South. Yeah, it's NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Second best quarterback.
Okay. Who's Drew Brees first, of course?
Nah, man. Matt Ryan is not, too.
Okay. All right. Let's get into picks for this week. Currently, I am 13-11, and Wally has taken the lead and surged past me at 14-10.
So you also listen to me, and like I've been saying for a while, you should always listen to me. I listen to me, and if I listen to me, you should listen to me.
Whatever. Saints Jets.
Oh, this is for the average fan. This is a hard one.
It's the Ryan Bowl.
Yeah, for me, it's quite easy. Go on with the Jets. The Saints don't travel. I don't care what anybody tells me. A good defense against a good defense on the road, and the Saints on the road is not a good a good mixture for the Saints. So I'm gonna go with the Jets.
Give me the Saints.
Okay, man. That's why you're losing to me. That's why. See, look, 14-10, 13-11. I'm going to read this one for you because I feel bad for what you just picked earlier.
Okay.
All right. Steelers versus the Patriots. You go first.
Give me the in Foxborough. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Again, T, good job. I agree with you. I will, too, go with the Patriots. Why? Because the game's in Foxborough. Gronk. And Brady tends to kind of dice up the Steelers defense, so I'm gonna go with this. I'm gonna go with Brady and the Patriots. Though it will be closer because the Patriots don't have any outside threats.
Okay. Ravens Browns.
Now, this is again for the average fan. This is what confuses them. For me, this is quite easy. I'm going with the Browns. Jason Campbell on the road. This is a heated game. It's the team that stole their money. You know what I mean? Like the Ravens or the Browns. The fans.
Well, actually, it's going to be at home for the Browns.
I know. That's what I'm saying. No, they stole the team that stole their money. Okay. I know what I said. Like, the Ravens were Browns. They were the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Armo Dale ran them dudes out. They went to Baltimore. So, I'm going with the Browns, man. Jason Campbell will beat the Ravens.
I'm going with the Ravens.
Of course. Will. See, look. This is why I'm going undefeated this week. All right. Last but not least, Bears versus Packers. This is quite easy.
Packers
all the way. There's no Jay Cutler. Who's going to be?
McNown.
Yeah, he played well against us.
Yeah, he diced the Redskins defense.
Yeah,
up.
Still lost, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, it doesn't matter then.
All right, we're going to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking.
What was that?
That was my phone.
Oh, it may sound like it was I thought it was my commercial or something. They don't do that to me, man.
Nah, when we come back, we'll be talking NBA basketball as the season starts.
What is the key? What's that? Oh my God! It's the Urban Sports Center, Israel Network
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
I gotta show out. Every time I go out, I gotta show out.
Yeah, anyways, we're back. It's the Urban Sports Team, the Eyes Radio Network, so I was jamming to it. I'm jamming that.
Oh, it's okay.
Gigi kind of, you know, Gigi kind of gets
me. He gets
me,
you
man.
In the zone?
Yeah, he does, man.
All right, as we stated earlier, NBA season kicks off in 4 minutes, and we're going to talk about, you know, the opening night games, Heat versus Bulls, which is the marquee game, Lakers versus the Clippers, and Magic versus the Pacers.
Yeah, that game is like on now, Magic and Pacers. No, yeah, it's not on TV, though.
Yeah, I don't think.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It's not anything.
It's the Magic.
Big. It's the Magic. Come on now.
All right, but let's get
Magic. Voila. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let's get to the marquee game. Heat, Bulls, rivalry game.
Yeah, it's a rivalry.
What's the key?
No, it's not playing, so. It's not
it kind of brings down some of the intensity.
Yeah, it's not as thorough.
Joe Kim Noah isn't playing. What's the key to this game and who will win?
Well, the Heat will win. But Derrick Rose is going to be nasty in this game. I want to see what LeBron what new thing LeBron brought to his game was going to bring to this game this season. LeBron usually brings something new post game, improved jump shot. So I'm interested to see what LeBron's going to bring to his game. Also, I want to see how the bench is going to play for the Miami Heat. They lost Mike Miller, who was big in the postseason for them. So I want to see what the bench is going to do for that team. Oh, this video game looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. NBA 2K14.
They shoot just like the actual player.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. But, yeah, so I want to see what he's going to do. And I want to see D-Wade. I've heard reports D-Wade looks fresh. So I want to see what D-Wade is going to do. Now, going to Chicago's back in, I need to see what the other players are going to do to help D-Rose beat this Heat team. If D-Rose has to do it all by himself again, this team is not going to beat the Miami Heat, period, in a 7-game series. So I have to see Butler take it to the next level. And I have to see Boozer be more consistent in this game and dominant and bully and play some bully ball when he's playing against Chris Bosh. So if this team does that, then, yeah, I can say that this team could be a threat to beat the Miami Heat. But right now, I don't see it.
The coach in Tom Thibodeau, he always comes up with a great defensive plan to slow down the Heat, make the game extremely physical. But I don't think that they'll get the win tonight. I actually think the Miami Heat will get the win. LeBron James, like you said, I'm interested to see what new element he added to his game. Dwayne Wade, he looked a little bit slimmer than from last season. Looked like he lost some of the muscle, toned up. So it'll be interesting to see how that'll have an effect on his knee. And is he the old Flash, you know, the guy who can average like 25 points a game consistently on night in, night out. And also Michael Beasley, a guy you've talked about like a lot. Yeah. You know, you're a huge fan of his game. I want to see how he transitions back into Miami, coming off the bench at that six-man position.
So it's funny because I was when I was working on Saturday and they had the game on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I saw Michael Beasley. It was a repeat of the game. He looked faster. He looked a little more explosive. Like he lost a lot of weight.
Had a burst.
He lost a lot of weight, so he looked quick. You look real quick. So if he can play at a high level off the bench, and we're talking about a guy who can give you like 13, 15 points off the bench. We're talking about a 20-point score, really, with a 20-point score with skill. I mean, not that he's done it, but he's a 20-point score because of his offensive
repertoire.
Yeah, exactly. Offensive repertoire. Then, yeah, this team could be even more dangerous. If we haven't talked, but we haven't scratched the surface about Greg Odom, which I don't expect him to play tonight anyway. But
yeah, I don't expect him to play until after the All-Star break.
Exactly. So this team is could be dangerous. But in this game against Chicago, the Miami Heat's going to have to show a sense of toughness and some ball movement to beat this Bulls team. So if they can have some ball movement, yeah, they can definitely beat this Bulls team. It can't be a lot of ISO play.
Yeah, I want to see, and you know, to me, I think Eric Spoelstra is one of the better coaches. You don't necessarily like him.
No, I don't think he's one of the better coaches.
Yeah, you don't necessarily like
him. Give Eric Spoelstra Thibodeau's team, and we'll see how good we'll see how good the Chicago Bulls are.
Fair point, touche. Derrick Rose, you spoke about him earlier. I actually think this is the season that he comes back with a vengeance.
Oh, I agree. Totally.
And gets his second MVP.
Yeah, I totally agree. This will be a season to remember about for Derrick Rose, but will he be MVP? Unless LeBron James allows him to get MVP, he'll be MVP. I'm just dead serious. Like LeBron James does too much. He does too much not to be the MVP of the league, unless he gets to that point where people are gonna be like, "All right, you've been getting MVP too much. Let's give it to the next man." So that's a possibility, but I don't know, because Derrick Rose probably will get the comeback player of the year. He'll be that good. He'll get the comeback player of the year, and will he get the MVP with that as well? It'll be a whole different story, though. But he's gonna dominate. He's gonna be the Derrick Rose of old. So let's just put that out there. With the thing, if you watch Derrick Rose in the preseason, you know that he's expanded his range. His three ball looks nice right now.
Yeah, his pull-up jump shot is way better from the mechanics to form.
Yeah, so Derrick Rose is ready. Like, this is one thing people knocked him for taking that whole year off. A, he's healthier, and B, he's more confident, and C, he's just flat-out better. He's flat-out better. As a basketball player, sometimes you got to relax and view the game mentally and see what you need to improve in. And sometimes that rest can really work to your benefit, and you can be in a different level. And that's where I think Derrick Rose is at right now.
Okay. Let's keep the topic on the Chicago Derrick Rose and the Chicago Bulls. Miami Heat, I'm trying to think of the way to term this, to articulate it. Yeah. Miami Heat, two straight championships, going for three. We've obviously seen after the All-Star break, this team definitely turns up the intensity, turns up their level of play. Do you think that the Chicago Bulls will have, because this team will come out with more urgency and because Tom Thibodeau almost demands a certain level of intensity for 82 games, do you think this team will have a better regular season record and has an opportunity to knock off the Miami Heat? Or do you think Miami Heat will just basically allow the Bulls to, they won't care about the regular season record and just will cruise until late March and April?
You know what? That's an excellent question.
I know.
I think the Miami Heat will play at a level where the season dictates it. Like, so if they feel like the Bulls are a team that they can't have home court advantage, then they'll turn it on. And they'll say, okay, we need to take the division because we feel like this Bulls team can beat us. Could beat us if they had home court advantage. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they will let the season dictate. And also that other teams play a factor in this too. Depending on how Brooklyn plays, the Pacers play. I'm not going to mention
the Knicks.
Nah, the Knicks aren't really in this equation.
But they're a top five team. Come on. Show some love.
Name four teams. Name me four teams.
What, in the East?
Yeah.
The Heat.
The Heat.
The Bulls.
The Bulls.
The Pacers.
Uh-huh.
The Nets.
Nets.
The Knicks.
That's five. Yeah. Hey, I don't got anybody. Yeah, you're right. Okay, if you want to put five, sure. Why not? Five teams. Yeah.
And you have to remember, the Knicks have historically played the Miami Heat tough. They were 3-1 against them last year during the regular season.
Not in the postseason, though.
But in the regular season. We're talking about the regular season.
Oh, I'm talking about postseason. Okay, you're right. You're right. You know what? You're right. The regular season. You're correct. You're correct. Shout out to you, Melo. I'm still a fan of you, Melo, in your game. But still, so that's all going to have to play a part, too. It's going to play a part. And to see what the Miami Heat is going to, how they're going to take this season in. Now, if the East is going to be as electric as we all think it's going to be, I think the Miami Heat's going to, they're going to play to try to be the one seed.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, like you said, we have, this is only one of 82 games, and we have a long way to go. We all know that the NBA season is definitely, it's a grind. It's a marathon and not a sprint.
Well, real quick, out of all those teams I just mentioned, out of those, four or five, obviously we're the ones putting five. So out of the five, which team is Miami's biggest threat?
The easy answer is the Bulls, but I don't necessarily think they are. I think that the Indiana Pacers will present. Put it like this: if Greg Oden doesn't come back healthy, the Indiana Pacers present the greatest challenge to that team.
Yeah.
Because of their size, Roy Hibbert, and if anyone has seen him during the preseason, pictures of him during the offseason, has gotten bigger, stronger. David West, we all know, has muscles coming out of his ears.
Uh-huh.
Even though Danny Granger missed the first 3 weeks to get his knee right, he'll be back. And then Paul George is starting to, what we saw from him towards the end of regular season and playoffs, he's starting to ascend towards that star level.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, yeah, Yada, my bad. I didn't catch your little Eyes Radio comment by Percy Harvin. My bad, man. We went to football and basketball and whatever. But in terms of, like, the team, I think I'm going to go with the Nets. I've always, I've been clamoring for the Nets for a while now. Their strength is like Miami's weaknesses. It's like they're Miami's weakness. Like, you have two bigs. Not just even one. You have two bigs. Like, when you look at Indiana, David West and Roy Hibbert, they're opposing bigs, but the Nets have two 7-footers, power forward and at the 4 and 5, both can shoot the J, both can really play the post, depending, especially in this era, what I call the era of lack of fours and fives. So and honestly, they don't even have to be on the same block, like close to each other within the block. One could play the high post, one could play down the block. So, and both can hit that shot consistently. So this team, to me, the Nets, if they do it correctly, and if Deron Williams manages this team correctly as a point guard, this team can be easily could beat Miami. Can definitely beat Miami. I won't even lie. Can definitely beat Miami.
Okay, I think they have the talent per se, but Jason Kidd, that first year as a coach.
Jason Kidd, he's a smart man. He's a smart man. He's a point guard.
You look and view and react to the game differently being on the bench than being a coach.
Well, let's put it this way. We will get a lot. We will know a lot, in my opinion, from the Brooklyn Nets in their first game. we will know a lot about the Brooklyn Nets. Because to me, what it reminds me of, I mean, again, Miami still is a different team in this season, but it reminds me of how when Boston got the big three for the first season. I think it can be that special. Okay. If coached correctly, it could be that special. Like, Doc Rivers wasn't Doc Rivers. Don't get it twisted. Doc Rivers wasn't Doc Rivers until he got the big three.
Yeah, but Doc Rivers had already previously won a Coach of the Year in Orlando.
Yeah, with the very talented Tracy McGrady.
No, he did it with that.
No, sure, wasn't it with Tracy McGrady on the roster?
Tracy McGrady was on the roster, but look at everyone else he had.
Mike Miller and whatnot. No, I know, but Tracy McGrady kind of helped him get. But, I mean, after that, he wasn't the Doc that we're speaking of now. I mean, the Doc we're speaking of now is 10 times better than that coach, even in Orlando.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you, and, you know, we'll see. But let's talk about the second game, marquee game on the NBA opening night.
The Docket. Docket lineup.
The Battle of L.A. Who runs L.A.? The Clippers versus the Lakers.
Who runs L.A.? You know who runs L.A.? The Clippers run L.A. right now.
Yeah,
it's sad that the Clippers run L.A.
Who would have thought that we would ever say that?
Clippers run L.A.
The Clippers have the better prospect to come out of the West than the Lakers this year.
This is crazy. And, you know, I'm rooting for the Lakers today, too.
You are?
Yeah, because Kobe's not playing.
I figured that.
Yeah, told you.
Oh, Joakim Noah is
playing. Oh, he is playing. Harder. I thought he wasn't playing.
Well, he did say that nothing would keep him out of this opening game. So. Yeah, he followed through on the
I hope Greg Oden does play this game because Greg Oden made him look stupid in the
National Championship.
Yeah, he made him look stupid. I hope they should play Greg Oden for this game just because.
All right, what are the keys?
I am so anti-Joakim Noah. Sorry, go ahead.
What are the keys for the winner in the Lakers-Clippers game?
Well, this obviously for the Clippers, it's going to be defense intensity. Doc Rivers brings that. Hopefully, Doc Rivers brings that to the Clippers. Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan have the ball defensively. They have to be intimidating. They're too athletic, too big to be letting people score on them. So, defensively, it's gonna. I want to see Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan play D. And secondly, Chris Paul's got to like take over. That's what he's going. Chris Paul's gonna have to take over and do the damn thing. Be honest with you, and be that leader of that team. He's gonna be Doc Rivers Rondo, and he's gonna be better than Rondo because he's a better player than Rondo.
Okay, you made very valid points, and I'm gonna say there's one player that has to be key for this for the entire season for this team to reach their potential, and that's JJ Redick. He has to be a consistent outside threat from the three point line to distance to create spacing for Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan down low, and also for Chris Paul to get into the lane to throw up those lobs.
Hey, real quick, I'm watching this Heat game and Miami is flying to the ball. Like, I mean, the defense intensity in this game is like that. They're pressing Derrick Rose every time he touches the ball. They're bringing multiple defenders at him. It's impressive. But see, look how he flying to the ball. Look, 3 seconds. He traveled too. Yeah, look at that. That's great defense. I'm sorry, I'm losing control.
It's great.
Let's go into. I mean, let me talk about the Lakers real quick. The Lakers, their key thing is out. You know, their thing. Nick Young has to go off. Now, it's funny. I'm talking about Nick Young for the Lakers. This is how bad this team is. Nick Young has to go off.
What did he? What was his nickname in Washington?
Oh, it was
Skinny P, Swishy P,
or something
like that.
You know. So, but that's the big thing. This team has to. Chris Bosh shooting threes is so gay to me. So, excuse me. It's just so stupid to me. Sorry, I can't help it. That's PG. That's PG talk. But no, yeah. Chris came in too. I want to see what Chris came is going to do with, you know, and Pau Gasol. Is Pau Gasol tougher? Dang, Derrick Rose. Don't do him that. Don't do him like that.
Okay.
I love basketball. I'm sorry.
All right. Are the Clippers finally contender with Doc in this first season?
I still don't, you know what, people throwing San Antonio around like they can't do it anymore. I want to see the Clippers beat San Antonio before I start talking about the Clippers really being the best team in the West. I still think I think the Golden State Warriors can give the Clippers some go.
Yeah, I think I like the moves that Doc Rivers when he brought in J.J. Dudley and
Jared Dudley
and excuse me, I'm getting confused.
I know, it's okay.
Jared Dudley and J.J. Redick.
Okay.
They also have, you know, Crawford off of the bench, who's one of the best ball handlers and scorers off of the bench. Just pure scoring machine. But I want to see how this team assimilates to Doc Rivers' defensive philosophy. You know, they have DeAndre Jordan, a guy who can swat shots. who's an excellent help defender, but isn't necessarily the best one-on-one post defender. I want to see how Blake Griffin responds. Will he be a little bit tougher on the block? And also, you know, how this team gels, because, you know, they added a lot of parts. So I want to see how they gel. And like you, I also think there are other teams in the West that can give this team some go. You know, obviously San Antonio. I actually like the Golden State Warriors like yourself. And I do still think that the Memphis Grizzlies will be very tough, especially for the Clippers, because how physical they are on the block.
All right, real quick. All right, will the Lakers make the playoffs this season?
I'm just trying to think of all the teams in the West, and I really, really don't think they will. I really don't think this team will. I know that Kobe has come out and says that he thinks he'll be back Christmas night.
But who cares what Kobe Bryant thinks?
This team just doesn't have the pieces. You know, Steve Nash is very old. He only can play like maybe 20, 26 minutes a game. So that means from the start, this team is going to have to rely heavily on Paul Gasol. And Nick Young, come on now. He'll shoot you out of a game.
Hey, Nick Young has talent.
Nick Young has talent, but he'll shoot you out of the game. He doesn't make the necessary passes.
Don't be bad mouthing my Kobe-less Lakers, man. You know what I mean? I love this team, man. This team can do some things. I think, to me, the Lakers will surprise a lot of people against the Clippers. Will they win this game? Probably not. But they'll surprise a lot of folks. Because I like that Steve Nash is gonna get the opportunity to do what he wants to do. He's gonna have the ball, and he's gonna be able to create. And he couldn't do that with Kobe Bryant on the court. And he'll be healthier. So I'm a fan of that. That I am a fan of.
All right, now let's talk local basketball, professional basketball. The Washington Wizards, as we know, they open Wednesday night against the new look Detroit Pistons at the Motor City.
Yeah.
How important
Auburn,
is it
Auburn Hills? It's the Auburn Hills.
Don't get me the line. Yeah, I don't lie. Yeah. I don't lie. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know. I don't know if it's still Auburn Hills.
All right, yo, I'm just asking.
I don't know. Don't get me the line. how important is it for this team, to the Wizards specifically, to get off to a fast start?
Very important. This team needs to. This team definitely needs to. They need to start fast. This team has started slow for like the last couple of seasons. When even last season, people thought they may be a better team, and when they started off like, oh, they had a terrible start. It was a horrendous start. Now, you know, you got John Wall, Bradley Beal. This is an opportunity to showcase your talents. This is an opportunity to give the fan base some hope, and also give the team some confidence going in to say, okay, we belong in the NBA. And
we belong in the NBA.
Yeah, because it's been a joke. I'm sorry, this franchise has been a joke. If they show they go into Detroit, a team that people actually like, the Detroit Pistons, they go into Detroit and play well and win the game. Oh yeah, this team is gonna think, yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
Man, if Chris Bosh shoots another jump shot, I swear. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's extremely important for the certain fact that, you know, a lot of people are predicting that the Wizards contend for one of the 6th, 7th, or 8th playoff seeds. And, you know, that 6, 7, I'll even say maybe the 5, because you never know how the New York Knicks are going to fail. So it's easy for me to say that 5, 6, 7, and 8.
So the New York Knicks, man. I always mention the New York Knicks.
No, I'm just saying it's easy for me to say, you know, 5, 6, 7, and 8 is up for grabs in the East. And, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they've improved, you know, with the number one pick, Anthony Bennett, signing Andrew Bynum. And then you also have the Detroit Pistons, which a lot of people think are better than the Washington Wizards. So I think it's pivotal for this team to get off to a fast start, especially for the coach and for the GM, because both of them are in the last season of their contract.
Yeah, to me, it's going to be important to see what John Wall can do too. This is an important season for John Wall.
Yeah, he's gotten paid. He's gotten the max contract, 5 years, $90 million. So now he has to step up and stay healthy for at least 79 of the 82 games and be the leader and play at an all-star level that a lot of people think that he can play at.
So I want to talk about John Wall some more, but real quick, obviously we have to talk about the trade that happened. The Wizards getting Gortat from the Phoenix Suns. Can he make a big difference for this team?
Yeah, for the simple fact that Nene has come out and stated that he doesn't want to play center, and we've seen with him playing center for long stretches, he hasn't necessarily isn't productive. Maybe it's because I don't think it's because of the level of skill that he faces at the center position. I think it's because he simply doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And when you have a guy like Martin Gortat, who who's a very good offensive player, a pick and roll center. So it's interesting to see how the Wizards will use him, because I just don't remember them being huge on the pick and roll. But we'll see how that plays out between him and John Wall. He brings some offense. He brings some scoring. He brings scoring. He brings some rebounding and some off-ball defense. So I think, you know, at first I was kind of skeptical of the trade because I thought that the Wizards were inheriting another long-term contract. But actually, he comes off the books this year. Mm-hmm. So in reality, the Wizards they'll still have like $12 million in cap space, which necessarily doesn't mean anything if you don't sign the necessary players. So I think I actually think that Ernie Grunfeld finally got over on somebody.
Really? Because you are so critical of Ernie Grunfeld.
Yeah, I actually think he finally got over on somebody.
Okay, so you think Gortat's going to make this team, but I don't think it's a big difference to me. Gortat's one of the most overrated centers in the NBA. He's got so much credit. You know, people thought he was going to be special after you know, when he was backing up Dwight Howard, they thought he was going to be something special. And to me, he hasn't even panned out to what people thought he would be. So, to me, we'll see how it pans out. I mean, to me, it's all about what John Wall does and how John Wall makes everybody better.
Yeah, we all know that John Wall is the engine that that keeps his locomotive going.
So, do you think it's going to be the season that John Wall takes it to the next level, though?
Because
I have that feeling.
What do you think next? What define next level?
We're talking about the top tier point guards.
I think John Wall averages 19 and 8.
That's to me the next level for a point guard. That's next level stuff. All
right. So we'll see. You know, like I said, 82 games to go. I love basketball. I know a lot of people don't get into it until after the Super Bowl, but I'll be definitely tuned in starting tonight, game one.
It's the best time of sports, man. You got football and you got basketball. They're still in the same realm. So real quick, Otto Porter. He looks like he won't play tomorrow. Hip flexor. Does it hurt his progress as an NBA ball player?
Yeah,
this season, I mean, too.
Yeah, just because of what we saw from him during the rookie league.
You still going on the summer league?
Yes.
It will hurt the Wizards. Otto Porter's gonna make this team go. He's gonna make this team
okay.
go.
We'll see.
All right, so
we'll have this conversation around Christmas.
And I'll be right. I told you, Will, you should never doubt me. Many ways, about the time for one of our most popular segments.
Flocka.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, well, basically, the segment's going to be this. It's going to be who for the Wizards will go hard in the paint this season.
I'm starting or you starting?
Yeah, you. It's the Wizards.
I actually think that, and you're going to laugh, but I think at this reserve role, I think he finally steps up. I'm going with Jan Vesely.
Jan Vesely, wow.
Jan Vesely.
Hey, I'm not going with Jan Vesely. For me, I'm a Hoya. I'm a Hoya first. I'm going to go Otto Porter. My man Will T's been bashing this dude, but Otto Porter, for real, he's going to be able to play with John Wall. He's going to set people up. He's going to average about four assists, about six rebounds. And you come off the bench, you know, he'll have about, you know, I'm going to say 8 points a game. So in the beginning, he's going to gradually show that he should be starting for the Wizards. So I have Otto Porter going hard in the paint.
Okay. Well, we'll see. You know, a long season. I'm excited. You're excited. You know, I just can't wait to see how it plays out.
And it should play out well. Well, folks, it's about a wrap for the Urban Sports scene. But before we go, make sure you check us out on the Israel Network. And the website is www.iesradio.com. Is spelled EYES radio.com. To listen to our show on our official Urban Sports Scene website, just visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook, so just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
All right, once again, I know it gets redundant, but, you know, thank you all for listening to us. You guys are the reason why we do this show. Keep the comments, whether positive or negative, keep coming in. And we're off next week.
You're off next week. We'll be back next week. We will not be there here next week, but the week after we should be back and to rock and roll.
Let's go.
All right, man. Deuces.
Sayonara, bitches.